we are going through this series on faith, the reason I decided to go through each verse in the book of Hebrews about faith, because I want you to know that faith is more than just a thought, a function, something that can be achieved through the examples that we see in Scripture. Now, what I'm saying is, some people think that faith is something that they can produce on their own. But faith is actually a choice. And it's a critical choice if you really understand how it works. Now, salvation is one thing. But after you're saved, as a matter of fact, before you're saved, you already have faith, right? Because in order to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus what? Died, he was buried, he was rose from dead, right? You have to believe that by faith. You've never seen Jesus, but you believed it by faith. And watch this, and look at your life now. The evidence of that is your life doesn't look the same. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, I look at my hands, they were new. Look at my feet, and they were too, right? You know, in other words, I don't walk the places I used to walk to. Come on now. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't live the way I used to live. I mean, I could, but I don't. So my question to you is, what happened? It's amazing, over 19 years of pastoring the church, I've seen people come and I've seen people go. I've seen some transform and I see some stay the same. And what I realize is that it wasn't the fact that, you know, they couldn't get it, it's the fact that they did not operate by faith. And it is your faith that will take you to levels in this journey, in this Christian journey, that you would have never gotten there had you not exercised faith. Now here's the thing, we know the truth about faith. But can I ask you a question? What about the power of faith? Now he starts off in the book of Hebrews talking about the Hebrew writer. In verse 3, last week we dealt with this, that God created the universe, prepared the universe by speaking it by faith. Wait a minute. He says the thing that you see was not created by something that you do see. Do I have anybody? The text says that by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. In other words, God says, I created this universe in my mind. Lord have mercy. And then I spoke it and it came to pass. Tell your neighbor, that's how powerful our God is. That he can speak something. No, he can think it, speak it, and it come to pass. Oh, you say you don't believe that. I do believe that. And here's how I believe that. Because the Bible said in the beginning, God created. Amen. And then he says, let there be light. And there was what? Light. Took man out of the dirt. Adam. Adam means dirt. Amen. Reddish. Because the dirt was red back then. You understand? And he says, look, he took him, he formed him, he fashioned him, and then he blew his breath into him. That's what faith can do. And I imagine to myself, imagine if I had really had That kind of faith. The faith to say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Faith, by the way, as I have defined it, is this. It's believing that God is telling the truth. There's no doubts. There's not even an inkling of a doubt. I know what the doctors say. Come on, help me, somebody. I know what your condition is. Oh, but do you not know that God can defy the odds? That God can change molecules? He can change stuff in your body that can heal you. He could defy gravity and all this other stuff that we logically think about. No, that can't happen for me. And I say this to you, God created everything by faith. But watch this. I believe that with faith, it's facts over feelings. It's function and the function of faith feels good, but it's something that is so real that you have to believe it. Because if you don't believe, you will never see the power of faith. Listen to this. Faith is knowing what is real and then experiencing what is real. Now, what is the difference if one has faith and one does not? You know, I say that the person with no faith is always asking the question, why? And then their why question is not to get an answer, but to prove that something is wrong. See, that's why a lot of people don't get no answers, because what they're doing is they're not asking the question because they're curious. They're asking their question because they're trying to prove that something is wrong with this Bible. Something is wrong with this church. Something is wrong with this. Something is wrong with that. And no wonder why we're still where we are. And so the writer goes on. And now let's go into the hall of faith. Let's go to verse number 4. Now, in the hall of faith, the writer moves from the first example after creation. Watch this. To the first family. It's interesting that he goes from God creating the worlds by faith, by the word, to now talking about the first fallen family in the Bible. He created Adam and Eve as perfect beings. Adam and Eve did not, Eve fell for it, and boom, they fell into what? Sin. The Bible says they were put out of Eden. There they are. Now the sin has spread. Can I tell you something about sin? It moves fast. Sin starts with a thought. Come on, help me, somebody. But because we are born in sin, the nature is there. We just got to know how to maneuver. Do I have anybody? And so in their fallen state, the writer now says the first family, he uses Cain and Abel to illustrate something about faith. Now, when their parents sinned, God killed an animal, sacrificed an animal, so you had the blood that covered their sin, Lord have mercy, and then he took the said animal, took the skin, and covered their shame. Oh, I wish I had somebody. In other words, when they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, they started itching and stuff. Now God said, let me make a better way for you. I wish I had somebody. Watch this. So God took an animal, killed the animal, sacrificed it, covered their sin temporarily with the blood. See, that's the reason for the blood. That was the law. The law required that blood was necessary. Innocence was necessary to cover their sins. Do I have anybody? You walking with me? We're in the Bible yet? Now watch this, watch this, watch this. As they're being covered by the blood, he takes the temporary skin and he covers their shame, because the Bible says they were naked before and they were unashamed. The moment that they fell into sin, they started to look at each other with a different kind of look. You know that look. I ain't gonna stay there long. I'm gonna keep it going. You understand what I'm saying? I may get in trouble for that one. So in other words, God says what was innocent is now perverted. Are you following me? And so here we are. Here we are now. He goes in now and he begins to talk about the life of Abel, Cain and Abel. Are you my brother's keeper? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, two brothers, their relationship. But check this out. He says, by faith, Abel, now, by the way, let me preface this. Adam and Eve have instructed their children, watch this, I'm going to reveal something to you to blow your mind, how to deal with their sin issue. Good parents. Job, I just went over this with my young people. Job used to make intercession for his children, because he said, you know what, they may mess up and curse God, so let me make this burnt sacrifice for them. Adam and Eve taught their children. Now, you know the story. Some of you do, some of you don't. All right, so Abel was a keeper of animals, and Cain was a farmer. Are you following me? Now, in all that they did, it was a choice. Now, the offering that he brought, that they brought to God, was not something that God said, you got to do. But it was something that God required, okay? But it still had to come as a choice. Whenever you give to God, whether you give him your time, your talents, whatever it is, you ought to give it to God from a heart that says, God, not only am I going to give you this, but I'm going to give you this, number one, by faith, by choice. And watch this, and it is my best. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is, we just can't give God anything. Now, when you read in Genesis chapter 4, this account, right? Don't go there, right? Watch this. It says that Cain brought an offering to God. In other words, he brought a donation. He thought he was doing God a favor. He brought a donation to God. But then it says Abel brought his best to God. Now, what is this about? I used to think it was about the offering, but it ain't about the offering. It's about the faith behind the action. Tell your neighbor, the faith behind the action. And so, let's look at it. And so I want to show you a few things. Watch the text. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. A what? It starts off testifying that he gave to God what? Come on, help me somebody. He gave God a what? That word for better. You know what the word means? The word means deep. Interesting word. The word means enough. The word means his best. And so here's what I found out. The faith has the power, number one, to transform your heart. Faith has the power. Listen, without faith, I couldn't stand here. Without faith, I couldn't keep living for Jesus. Without faith, it's the power that faith has to help you to stand when you want to fall down. to keep going when you feel like all everything is over. Do I have anybody? See, Abel believed God. And it transformed his heart. Because watch this. God says, Abel, when you gave it to me, it came from your heart that says you believe that I did create the universe. But Abel was meeting the requirement. Listen to me real good. That God had already set in play. When his parents taught him, listen, when you sin, then what you do? The blood. All right? Now. Here's what I found out. I found out that before we're saved, we're not natural givers. I found out before we're saved, we think about ourselves. What we can keep. Look at our garage. Well, no, let's forget the garage. Let's go to your closet for a minute. Stuff you wore one time. We just hoard things. We just keep things. Because for some reason, we feel we can wear 12 pair of pants or 17 pair of shoes at the same time. But it said, the text says that God, the faith that Abel had transforms his heart so that he loves God. Very simple. Abel believed God and he recognized just what the scripture says, that man is imperfect. He can't save himself. He can't transform himself. So I'm willing to sacrifice the best to God because I understand the best is my whole life. Some of us are only giving him piece of our lives. Some of us won't give him all of our lives. Listen, we compartmentalize him. We want him when we're down, but not when we're up. Do I have anybody? But can I help you with something? Abel knew that his sin had to be removed and that he, watch this, was counted as righteous before he could even be accepted by God. And I say to somebody here today, it's faith that will transform your heart. It's not somebody trying to probe you and prime you. It's not somebody trying to tell you, if you do this, you'll get that. It is through my faith that my heart has been changed. Anybody here got a heart change? You used to be bitter. You used to be down. You used to be out. You used to be this. You used to be that. But it's by faith that God transforms your heart. But watch this. Your actions prove that you have faith. I'm going to say it one more time. Your actions prove that you have faith. Now watch this. Watch the text. Text says, and by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than who? Cain. Here are two people with the same opportunity. Gosh, dog it. You came to church today. You have an opportunity. Either you're going to stay the same or you're going to leave here a different person. Do I have anybody? And so the second thing that I believe faith has, the power to reveal our true motives. You see, Cain didn't believe God. Cain did not accept God's word. Cain, oh, I wish I had somebody. When he approached God through a different sacrifice. Because the Bible says that when he came to God, he brought God a donation. He brought God not his best, but he brought God just what he thought that he felt that he could do. In other words, rather than bringing a spiritual sacrifice, he was bringing a material sacrifice. You see, Cain approached God through earthly means. Cain approached God through human works. Well, I'll volunteer on Thursday, but you can't get nothing else out of me, Pastor. Faith means this, that God, you have access to every area of my life. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my talent. And I'm going to give you my treasures. Because you got to remember the context of this passage is that they are under persecution. And the writer is saying, you got to do it by faith. Both brothers knew what God required. But watch this. One made a choice not to do it. And I want to tell you something. You can't give God what you think he wants. And can I help you with something else? God knows your motives. He knows why you showed up. Oh, yeah, you didn't show up before, but you're showing up now. And I'm glad you showed up. Because the Bible says that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's the context here. As is the habit of some. But when you show up, you have to show up to receive and to sacrifice by faith. You know, this passage is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. That's works. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. Imagine this. Imagine you think you're walking by faith. You think you're giving by faith. And God said, everything you did, I didn't even see it. I have no regard for it. And the reason I have no regard for it, because you're doing it your way. Oh, I'm trying to hope somebody. Watch this. You can't serve God the way you think that you want to serve God. You and I have to serve God the way God requires us to serve him. And how is that? By faith. He wants us to serve him with everything we have. Our whole heart. You can't give God your leftovers. We can't give God what we have left after the world has sucked everything out of us. And here we are now trying to give God the last that we have. God said, no, I still want the first. And so, watch this. God says about Cain, I don't even acknowledge what you did. Imagine being in church your whole life. Some of us, we're stuck, and we're stuck in neutral. And here's what I'm saying. Your engine is running. You're hearing all the sounds, but you ain't moving. Watch this. You want more faith, but you're not willing to do what it takes. And here's what it takes. It takes giving it all. It means sacrificing it all. It means meeting God's requirement, not your standard, but God's standard. Do I have anybody? And the Bible says that God begins to talk to Cain in verse 6. He said, and then the Lord said to Cain, God said, why are you angry? Now, how did he go from worshiping to angry? Because God had no regard for what he did. Lord have mercy. Let me break it down a little bit for you. Watch this. You've been giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Ain't nothing happening. Why not? Because you've been doing it what? With the wrong motives. But you take a person who has little or nothing, but they have one great thing. What is that? Faith. And then they're willing to come through the door, not through the window. They're willing to walk down the aisle. They're willing to come down the aisle. They're willing to come to the altar and say, God, this is all I got. Yeah, I may have messed up, but here I am, Lord. And I don't understand all this faith stuff. You know what really is the problem? We got so many Bible scholars in church. But they ain't living the Bible. You got people who are so versed in the scriptures, but they can't apply one word of it. Because you know why? Because they're still skeptical about it. Because they're still questioning whether it's God or whatever it is. But I stop by to tell you, the moment you start believing it, the moment you start changing your motives, you will find out that you will begin to see this thing work in your life. Do I have anybody? This is not magic, y'all. Do I have anybody here who's walking by faith? And I'm talking about you're seeing God do things in your life that you have never seen before. And can I help you something? It ain't because you've been good. Because we're not that good. On our best day, we're not that good. But when you're covered in the blood and you're not trying to cover yourself, hey, by your own works, what you'll find out is that God can advance you to the front of the line. He'll take you from the back of the line. He'll put you to the front of the line because your faith has pushed you forward. And only your faith. Your motives. God said to put it up on the screen for him. God said 4:6. Genesis 4:6. Watch what he said. The Lord said, Cain, why are you angry? That's an emotion. Okay? And watch this. This wasn't just straight up. This wasn't righteous anger. This was unrighteous. He was cussing. All right? Now, not only was he cussing, but he was getting so angry. You know what he did next? He killed his brother. His anger drove him. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Okay. Abel met the requirement. You didn't, but you mad. What does that sound like? Insanity. Watch this. I did what God told me to do. I did what God told me to do my way. I'm going to say it one more time. I did what God wanted me to do God's way. You did what God wanted to do your way. But watch this. You both appear to be doing the same thing. You're bringing an offering. Watch this now. Watch this. Now you're mad because you see me go up. And you're trying to figure out how come I'm not where you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, check your motives. That's all it is. Motives. Because I'm trying to do it through human works. I'm trying to do it through, I won't tithe, but I volunteer. Oh shit. I lost the whole sermon going now. No, seriously, watch this. I won't tithe, but I'm going to give to Goodwill. God said, that's not the requirement. You're modifying it to fix it the way you feel that I want it. God says, no. No. I have a requirement. And the requirement is this. A, B, C, D. Do that. Now watch this. He's angry. And his countenance fell. I can tell when your countenance is falling. Right? Now look at verse 7. He says, this is God. Now, tell your neighbor grace. Oh, isn't God awesome? God knows the heart of Cain. And this is an illustration of salvation is open to all. Watch this. God knows Cain is wrong. He's wrong as two left shoes on the right foot. Wrong. But he gives him the solution. Look what he tells him. If you do well, will not your countenance be what? So this is why I knew that God told them what was right. If you want a deal, if you're going to bring a sacrifice to me, bring it this way. Bring your best. Bring your first, not your last. Bring your best to me. The first, I want the fat. Some of you are living on the fat. You know what the fat is, right? The fat was the best part of the meat, by the way. Watch this. And the reason that God says that he wanted the fat of the animal, because he wanted to protect his people from high blood pressure, cardiovascular diseases, because they were eating up the fat and they were getting bigger and they were getting unhealthy. So God said, tell you what I want you to do. Bring the fat to me. Fat means prosperity. Fat means success. So God says success has two sides to it. It can bless you, but it can damage you. It can bless you, but too much of it can harm you. So God says, bring that fat to me and sacrifice it to me, and guess what? I'm gonna bless you. Cain wanted to live on the fat, but Abel knew better. Abel knew if God asked for it, I'm gonna give it. The text says, he says, would not your countenance be lifted up? Watch this. And if you do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for what? For you, but you must master it. So don't, come on now, stop with all that. The devil made you did it. I ain't got no strength. I'm just weak to the 6'5", 290, whatever. I'm using a different illustration today. I'm respecting my seasoned saints today. Yeah, I'm just saying. He just chocolate and, you know, that kind of stuff. Sin is there. It's waiting for you. You could master that thing. But you can't master it if you modifying God's requirement. Tell your neighbor motives. Watch the text. Back to Hebrews. Look what he says. He says, what did he say? He says, through which, amen, a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he has obtained what? The testimony that he was righteous. Through what? His better sacrifice. He obtained a what? Can I ask you something? What are you living for? When you leave here, can I ask a question? What would they say about you? Are you living to leave a mark on the earth? Or are you living just to leave the earth? Just to have a few days on this earth, and then what? See, because watch this. The text says that he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And so faith has the power. Write this down. This is going to help you. Next thing. This is it. To give us a day-to-day walk with God. See, let me tell you what righteousness is. You ready? Right living according to God's standards. But faith has the power to do that. Because can I tell you something? Every day is a struggle. Because there are some days when the devil turn it up, come on, help me somebody, that you want to turn it up. Come on, help me now. There are some days that you get weary in this journey. There are some days you get tired. There are some days where you're wondering, why am I suffering so much? Why is this happening to me? But I thank God that the text says that he obtained a testimony, a good reputation. Can I ask you a question? What type of testimony do you want? His faith gave him the testimony that he had the ability to live right. Oh, I thank God today. I don't live like I used to live. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't even have a desire for the things I used to have a desire for. And that's simply because faith gives me the power to say no. Faith gives me the power to remove myself from that situation. Anybody here weak right now and you're trying to make a come up, but the devil just keeps trying to pull you down, God says use your faith and you will see it come to pass. Do I have anybody? The text says right here at the end, it says that gives him the testimony that he was righteous. Now, here's the beautiful thing about it. Now, I care about what you think about me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to leave that alone. It says God testifying. Who? Yes. Testifying about what? Not about his life, but about his gifts. I'm going to say it one more time. God is testifying about his gifts. Do I have anybody? So the next thing I believe is that faith has the power to gain God's attention. Lord, I need you to look my way, Lord. Because the Bible says in Genesis 4:4 that Abel on his part also brought the firstling of his flock and of their fat portion. And the Lord had regard for Abel's offering. Can I ask you a question? What are you bringing to God? God knows you got rent is due. He knows the car note is due too. But here's the thing that God wants you to do is to believe him that no matter what it is, Lord, I want you to look in my direction. Anybody here knows that when you get God testifying about you, gosh almighty, God, when you start testifying about me, do I have anybody? I know man call you good. I know people say you so smart. I know people say I don't know what I'd do without you. But imagine the God of the universe. Oh, the one who hung the sky. The one who scooped out every valley. The one who put the bark in the dog. Come on and help me somebody. I'm talking about that God. God testifying in heaven. Here's my child. He called Leroy name. He called Pookie name. He called your name. He called my name. And he said, that's my child. Let me brag on him. God, just keep testifying. Keep testifying about me. Because one day, when we leave this earth and we get to heaven, he will say to you and I, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Do I have anybody here? You're not living for man's applause. Yeah, I may not be known on this side, but on that side, God is calling my name. He calls me. I say, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? He says, I want you to give it all. I want you to give all of you. Not just some of you, but all of you. You worry about rent. God says, I'll pay your rent. How much are you willing to trust me to see what I can do? Some of us haven't trusted him that much to see what he can do. When God testifies about you, can I ask you a question? What does he say? When you get God's attention, watch this, heaven is speaking your name. Abel caught God's attention. Abel caught God's approval. And I thank God that that's the example that we have. By faith. Just remember, it's by faith. It's by faith God's testifying. What is he testifying about? His gifts. And even after he leaves this earth, the text says, and through faith, I got to go, through faith, though he is dead, though he's dead. See, about 30 years from now, you ain't going to see me. 40 years from now, you ain't going to see me. But hopefully, my faith has impacted your life. My faith has left a legacy on this earth. I ain't talking about no building. I'm talking about lives. I'm talking about the fact that when someone looks at you, they can say, there go a real believer. There goes somebody that knows Jesus. There's somebody who lived this thing. We got too many jokers out here who ain't living this thing. But hopefully, when we leave this earth, somebody will open their mouth and said, man, I remember this person. So the last thing I want to leave you with, faith has the power to preserve our testimony and leave a legacy. Even though death can extinguish the testimony of Abel, thanks be to God, that's our example. When I leave this earth, they're going to say he did it by faith. He walked by faith. When nobody showed up, he was there. When everybody walked away, he was there. He kept going and he kept going. It didn't matter how, didn't matter how he felt, he kept on going. And that ought to be your testimony. When friends leave you, when family walk away from you, you hold on to your faith. You hold on to your faith, because it's your faith that will give you the power to get through it. Do I have anybody? Do I have anybody? Abel was killed, but we're talking about Cain. But God says, we ain't gonna talk about the killer, we're gonna talk about the faith walker. And I wanna tell somebody, they may lie on you now, they may talk about you now, but in heaven, your name is known. Folk know you in heaven. Abraham know you. Isaac know you. Jesus know you. Yeah, John know you. Matthew know you. The moment you step out on faith, your name is being called and testified in heaven. By faith, he hung on a cross. By faith, Jesus went to the cross. They hung him high. They dropped him low. Put him in a borrowed tomb. But early, I said early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Yeah. And that's not the end of the story. Because here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still calling his name. Jesus, Mary's baby, born in a manger, didn't have no room for him, but we're still calling his name. Jesus. Though he's dead, he's alive. He died, but he got up. He got up. And he's alive today. And we're still talking about him. Hallelujah. 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 If you know the Lord, stand to your feet, y'all. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you for my faith. Tell him I'm going to live and I'm going to leave a legacy. And my legacy will be, I was a faith walker. I was a faith walker. I did it the way you wanted me to do it. I didn't cut no corners. I didn't cut through the grass. No, I did it the way the word tell me to do it. And when you do, hallelujah, high five your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, you gotta slap your neighbor a little louder than that. Neighbor. Faith has the power to change my life. Faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll give you all. All or nothing. Can I say this? We got to stop trying to serve God with our means. How we want to serve God, because it's comfortable. Faith will give you the power to do the impossible. Can I say this to you? It's impossible for a fish to be happy on the land. On land. A fish on land is struggling trying to make it. A fish on land is going to be squirming and flipping and twisting and jerking and jumping. You know what? It won't be able to relax because it's not where it was made to live. Brothers and sisters, the reason why you're flipping and shaking and tripping and bumping and tipping and dagging and doing this, because you ain't living by faith. You're like a fish out of water. God is saying, man, you still, I'm not trying to convince you. I don't have to convince you. People think, well, if I pray long, I'm going to get long blessings. But I can pray for 2 seconds and get twice as much as you've been praying for 12 hours. What the difference? I got faith. And if that's you today, Lord, increase my faith. Give me the faith, not on my terms, but by what you require. What does God require if I missed it in the translation? What does he require? Your best. May I say this to you? Some of you have not given him your best just yet. He says, I want the fat, but you like it too. You put in the beans and put in the greens and boy, they're good. He said, but that ain't what you're supposed to be eating because it's going to mess up your body. So give it to me. Give me the fat. And I'm going to give you the best part. I imagine if my name is being called in heaven right now. Is your name being called in heaven? Is God testifying about you? Can I say this? It's not about how good you are. How much righteousness do you have by faith?